Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
And I'm Halle. This is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminan-speaking Musqueam peoples.
So for our first ever episode of Therapy Hour debut, we're going to be talking about crying.
Yes, I think that this is a very appropriate first topic for our therapy podcast because I certainly have done my fair share of crying in therapy sessions. I don't know about you.
In therapy, in life, with you,
in together, our own therapy alone. Sessions. Yeah. So when was the last time that you cried, Halle?
The last time that I cried was very sad. I had driven a friend home, and we were having some nice chats about kind of her relationship and some things that were coming up for her, just about like insecurities. And when I tried to kind of talk about my own insecurities, I was a bit shut down, wasn't really given the support I wanted, and then also had this situation of, you know, giving this advice that I think that I really needed to hear. And so kind of talking about that, she left the car, I dropped her off, I got back in the car, and I was like, I'm just going to go on a drive and I'm going to decompress, which driving is one of my favorite places to cry. Put on my crying playlist. I knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You're ready.
I was ready. And then I was driving around Marine Drive and just let the waterworks come. I think that was the last time. That was last week, so.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I was thinking about when the last time I've cried is, and like, I was kind of having a hard time remembering, not because I haven't cried recently.
Right. Never.
Because I cry all the time, don't get me wrong, but more so because I just cry so often that like, it doesn't really stand out as like, oh my God, I just cried. It's just kind of like, yeah, I cried. So what? Who cares?
That was great back then. Yeah. Maybe I'll do it again today.
And then I'll forget about it.
Right.
But I think the last time I cried was probably I was sitting on my couch in my living room talking to a friend about something that I thought I was done crying about and then started crying. And I was like, wait, I cried all my tears for this situation. What is going on here?
I think that's
yeah, that was maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks
those
ago.
Those are kind of the best cries, though.
I don't know. I struggle with those cries.
Really? Yeah. I really like those cries. I guess it's uncomfortable in the moment, but when I'm in that headspace of thinking, like, I'm not going to cry when I talk about this, but then as I'm crying, I feel like I cry better when I'm talking about something. It feels like it's really taking something out of me. And so having that eruption of just feeling like, oh, like, this is emotional now. Like, I have a very good memory of talking to someone about, like, my dad, which is something I talk about a lot, but just, like, in the moment as I was talking, I just started to like cry. And it feels that crying, I would go as far to say, is like the best crying that I have, like the best feeling afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely love crying when talking to someone.
Love it.
Love it. Because like what you were saying of like, it's a really nice release and it feels productive in a way because I'm actually like working through an issue and it's emotional and I'm crying about it and that's okay. But I think it trips me up when I am crying about something I thought I was more over than I really am. And I get upset with myself and my body and I'm like confused and I'm like, no. Like, we don't cry about this anymore. Right. We've done our crying.
I've healed.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Over this. Like,
exactly.
I'm done.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think as we've established, we're both big criers.
We love to cry in this household.
Pretty comfortable crying. And so I feel like we've both probably found ourselves in some very interesting places when we cry.
Yeah.
I think we both are pretty good about like just letting ourselves cry and not really holding it back. But, you know, when you're on the 99 and you gotta shed a tear.
My favorite, just recently crying on the bus this past summer, as you know, Olympics make me emotional. They really do, and I don't know what it is. I don't play sports anymore. I'm not connected to a sport other than volleyball, maybe, but something about seeing people getting into the Olympics and winning the Olympics. I was on the 99 coming back from work, probably 2 p.m., and I'm watching a TikTok, a 15-second video of this swimmer that I read the description, and she's from Alaska, her dad died, she like looks up and she wins, and I just could not keep it in the waterworks. And in those moments, I almost feel like I feel better about crying, because like there have been times, like a few weeks ago I was walking and I felt like I had to keep it in when I was walking, but that was more because it was an emotional cry, whereas like when they're, I don't want to say funny cries.
It's almost like depersonalized, you know? It's like, I'm not crying for me.
I'm crying for someone else. As if anyone in that room would know that.
Yeah.
Or in that bus.
Yeah, I guess visually, like, it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
Right.
But you know, and that's what matters.
Yeah, that, of course it matters.
Yeah, I found myself, like, you know, I'm not a big, like, cry to music person so much, but I'll listen to podcasts on the bus sometimes, and, like, I'll get really, like, into it and, like, kind of forget the space that I'm in. And then suddenly I'm, like, shedding a tear and I'm like, oh, hello.
I'm on the bus.
Community that I am transporting with. Don't mind me as I cry.
Do you think the bus is the weirdest place you've cried in? Maybe in the past year?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably the weirdest place most consistently. Just because it's so public, you know, and like so you're so observed on the bus.
You know, everyone is going to be watching you.
But at the same time, like, I feel like everyone does everything they possibly can on the bus to be avoiding eye contact and like not looking at you. So it kind of feels safe at the same time.
It feels like we're all going to a destination, and there's a bit of anonymity that I think comes with that, of being like, maybe this is embarrassing, but you're probably just going to work and you're not look. I feel like when someone sees you crying on the bus, they're not going to like look to you and want to like give you support, or they're like looking at you worriedly. That they're look. I'm like looking at the side and I'm like, oh, that sucks. Then I go back.
Yeah. I mean, you see people like sleeping on the bus and like doing all these like ultimately very private things in this very public space. And I think crying is kind of no different in that sense.
Well, I've done some interesting research about crying, about why we cry, what our tears are made of. And I think that you and the people listening are going to be very interested in this.
I am super interested. I can't wait to find out all that you've found out. But before we get into all of that, let's get in the mood for a good cry by listening to a little bit of Julia Jacklin's Cry.
Hiding my depression from my housemates. You can never have too much bread and try not to cry.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Welcome back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Holly.
And I'm Violet. So I understand that you did some research on crying. And as we've established, we're both people who cry a lot. So I would actually love to know what you found out on why we actually cry.
Right. So I'm going to give everyone a little bit of a crying 101. We're going to start off with tears, because tears are very interesting. Mm. There are three types of tears: basal, irritant, and psychic. So the first two are much more like evolutionary things. They're just things. So basal tears are just like what lubricates your eyes. So when you have dry eyes, sometimes your eyes kind of tear up. Irritant tears are the reactionary tears, so thinking of like you get something stuck in your eye or cutting an onion. But psychic tears or emotional tears are the ones that we give out when we cry. And it's very interesting because we still don't really know why we release water. We know that some other species also cry, but there hasn't been much research to do with like why we do said thing. Like we have the process of like how it's happening, but so much with psych research is so much like, okay, now we know the steps to get there, which we'll get into, but why? And there's really not that many answers out there. I was really struggling to find stuff out.
So other species cry emotional tears?
Well, we don't know if they're emotional. Okay. We can't really look into their psyches, unfortunately.
Right.
From what we understand now, humans are the only species that cry emotional tears.
Huh.
But we, like, if you've ever heard a dog whimper before, like, that's a really good example.
Right.
We've seen some evidence of, like, tearing up or what looks like animals, like, scrunching their faces in emotional ways and, like, kind of relating that to the animals we know that are consciously emotional, as far as we know. But yeah, I mean, we don't really know why. And if we can observe it in other animals, it's really hard to observe it in humans because, you know, psych likes to cut open some rats usually. And we can't really do that with humans, unfortunately.
Right.
But then also when we think about tears, we think about what's released in them. So I'm sure everyone's heard of the fact that crying is good for you and it releases these toxins. And I found that there's actually quite a bit of controversy in the psych world about this, because we know that tears, like crying, the act of crying, releases oxytocin and endorphins. These are two very feel-good hormones. So endorphins are very similar to like what's released when you know, do cardio or you work out. Oxytocin is a feel-good hormone. So we have like some concept of like the good chemicals that are released after you cry, which we, you know, that's kind of why people, when you cry, you might feel a little bit better. But there's a lot of arguments of why, like whether the actual tears themselves hold anything. So I'm going to just talk very quickly about the process of crying.
Please.
So tears are released from adrenal glands. And what's thought to come from the adrenal gland sometimes is cortisol and adrenaline. These are two very stress hormones. Like they are think about like having an anxiety attack. I don't know if you've ever cried and felt like you're hyperventilating.
Absolutely.
I have been there plenty of times where you like feel like you can't catch your breath, you're hiccuping. It's very close to having an anxiety attack, and it's because in some instances when you cry, those are the tears, those are the hormones that are being released.
Okay.
Which is
bad hormones.
Bad hormones, but good in some way, because what the article that I was reading was kind of saying was that if you don't let adrenaline and cortisol release, it's just going to be built up, which we're going to get into lots of stuff about tension building up.
Cool.
But yeah, so hyperventilating, chest tightening, very similar to anxiety attacks. Those are all linked to sad tears. And the other interesting thing that I found was that most studies are done on sad tears, but there are certain hypotheses that some of the, when we've like analyzed tears, they are different from when they're happy tears versus when they're sad tears. Again, there's not that much research on it, but they have found that certain sad tears are more toxin, quote unquote, filled. I feel like toxins are a better word to use for here, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting. And like in prep for this episode, we were talking about, you know, doing an episode on crying and how you might instinctively think of crying as something that you do when you're sad. But we gave it another thought and we were like, oh, that's actually something you do when you're sad, when you're happy, when you're overwhelmed, when you're surprised, when you're angry sometimes. It's so interesting that our body has on the surface such a similar reaction to what inside feels like such different emotions.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And speaking on that, we're going to get into then the internal systems, because I was really, when we brought that up in prep, I was like, why does this happen? Like, why would we, when I'm overwhelmed or I'm happy, like I've been surprised before and then just started crying. I'm like, why am I crying right now?
It's almost like your body just like needs to release something to emote this emotion that you are just feeling with your whole body.
Exactly.
And it just like leaps out of your eyes or something.
It's like, now go up this way. Yeah. So when I was doing some research about this, I found out first that crying, when they've just done like exams on humans crying just when they're sad, they found out that it all had to do with the hypothalamus. So for anyone that's not a psych major or doesn't study the brain, the hypothalamus, Violet will raise her hand, hypothalamus is in charge of the body's internal functions. So it's like everything. It's sleeping, it's eating, it's regulating your body. So when the hypothalamus feels something, usually from the amygdala. The amygdala is the part of your brain that's in charge of the emotions. So your amygdala will release some sort of signal. So in this case, let's talk about something sad. So your amygdala will feel sadness and send like a neural signal to the hypothalamus saying, I'm feeling sad and I need to regulate this feeling. So the hypothalamus will then send out your body regulation. So that is why we have the hormones that are released. So thinking back to like the endorphins and the oxytocin. So it's to regulate your body pretty much is like why the biological side of crying.
Okay.
However, sometimes these wires get a little bit crossed. So when your amygdala is kind of in overdrive, sometimes it can't discern whether you're happy or you're sad or you're angry or you're just surprised and shocked. So those signals aren't always very clear to the hypothalamus, and then it'll just emote whatever hormone it thinks that your body needs. So if you are shocked and like your body kind of goes like, let's think of it as a little spike, then your hypothalamus will be like, oh, well, this thing needs oxytocin to like level it out. So it'll just send out an oxytocin. If anyone listening is a neuroscientist or a psychologist, please don't get upset with me. I'm trying to say this in layman's terms as well as we can. So sometimes we just can't, our bodies just can't figure out what we're doing. And that's why we cry in like all these different instances.
That's really interesting. So our body is just kind of like, we know how to do this thing.
Yeah.
And so we're going to just try it out and see how it feels. And usually it is a sense of relief, as we were saying before. So, you know, there's good reason. Our body has certainly learned and knows that if we have this release, you know, we can kind of get through this emotion that's happening right now, be it sadness, anger, frustration, you know.
Just anything that's built up emotion. And I think that your body is constantly trying to regulate itself, and it's going to do everything it can to do so. So, like, I remember learning about why you get fevers was like a crazy concept, because it was like your body is putting, like, overheating you so that it can kill whatever is messing you up inside. And then you can go back down to homeostasis. Mm-hmm. That's always where your body wants to get to. That's the same thing with hangovers. It's the same thing with sleep deprivation. Like, your body is constantly just trying out new hormones and chemical releases just to get yourself back to normal. Mm. But it is really interesting, because in my research, I was really thinking that there was going to be this huge difference in, like, maybe these different pathways, or, like, even trying to find some difference in happy tears versus sad tears, which there may be a difference, but it's comforting and also unsettling in a way to just think that, like, this emotional response that feels like it's a big deal for me in an individual way, but also like such a cultural topic, is just your body trying to regulate itself. It's really just trying to bring you back and calm you down and release some fun hormones so that you can feel a little bit better.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I think the reaction to seeing someone crying is kind of like, oh, like, we need to fix something, and like something's going wrong here, and the body's already like, I'm on it. Like,
I'm on it, baby.
I'm fixing what's going wrong.
Well, it's interesting that you say that too, because then when we get into, this is kind of the biology behind crying, and we can talk a little bit more about that too. But also, there's a huge social implication for crying, and that's kind of the hypotheses I've seen in my research of why we even tried to cry in the first place. Like, if you think about evolution, there are reasons why humans do certain things. So one of the papers I read was talking about how, you know, there's all these hormones and toxins and like releases that you're having when you cry, but that could have come afterwards. The real reason why a lot of psychologists think that we cry is that it's a way to communicate to others that we're in need. So I looked at this study talking about people's reactions to smelling tears and seeing tears, and overall it's supposed to lower testosterone, which is linked a lot to aggression. So it's supposed to make someone, you know, kind of calm down to like speak to someone else. It's supposed to show like some form of sympathy, empathy, not so much, but like if you think about attacking another human being and maybe like seeing them cry could be very jarring.
Yeah, or I've certainly been kind of in some like confrontational situations with friends, and then the moment that they start crying, suddenly I'm like, never mind the issues that I had.
Right.
Let's talk about you.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? So I can like feel myself instantly like, yeah, my aggression lowers, and suddenly I want to comfort this person.
Yeah, and even seeing strangers cry. I feel like I was outside of a cafe on campus, and I saw this girl just laying down. I think she was having an anxiety attack. But she was crying, and like immediately, like my senses just feel like, obviously, if you see someone crying, I would hope that anyone would just at least go up to them and ask if they were okay. But it is, I would like to think that I'm a very, like, nice and sympathetic and empathetic person, but also there's a lot of evolutionary stuff there. You see someone in need, and your reaction is to figure out what to do for them, because crying is signaling in a lot of ways that something is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also hard. You bring up seeing a stranger crying, and I have sometimes seen strangers cry and kind of been like, is this my place to come over to you?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people can feel really embarrassed by the fact that they're crying, which, you know, no one should feel embarrassed. But I certainly understand it can be like a really vulnerable moment for people. And so I have struggled before with the idea of coming over to someone that I don't know.
Right.
And kind of confronting to them that I have witnessed them cry.
Yes.
And inserting myself into that situation.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, personally, I think that there are people that I'm very comfortable crying in front of. There are also people that I don't want to be crying in front of. And I think when we talk about crying in public, there's a lot of thoughts to be had of like, am I looking for someone to give me support right now? Or do I just want to like experience this alone and like by myself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as much as I have cried in public spaces, I typically don't want a stranger to come over to me.
Yeah.
And kind of say something, I'm doing this alone.
I would like to be by myself.
But like, you know, it is nice to have people in my life who I do feel comfortable crying in front of. And I think that that's really important for me to have trusted friends who I feel like I don't have to hold things back around. And I can just open up and cry and trust that they will be there for me. I think there's a way to offer support when someone's crying that isn't, you know, I've had people be like, shh, don't cry.
No, we hate this.
And I'm like, don't tell me not to cry.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I am releasing plenty of feel-good hormones right now. That's what you have to say the next time.
Yeah, that's so good. Which I just hate that reaction. Don't tell me not to cry. Don't shush me.
The shushing is the worst. Why?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, when babies are crying, I feel like the thing to do is like, shh, 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 and like pat them on the back. And it's like, why are we shushing babies? They literally don't have words yet.
Every time that you and I watch something where we see someone being like, shh, don't cry, and we're like, stop, let them cry.
Yeah.
It is healthy
it's
to healthy cry.
It's healthy and normal.
Well, I think it's interesting. Like, again, you know, this was also something that I researched, but there is a preference of people to be crying alone. People like processing a lot of this by themselves. It is very cultural based. And another side note with psych research is that it is very whitewashed and very Western. So everything that is said to you or anything that I say to you or that we talk about, always take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, it's very culture. If you live in a culture where crying is not deemed good or socially acceptable, like, obviously you're going to want to go and do that by yourself. I also think that personally, there are times where I do just want to cry by myself. And there are times where I want to cry with trusted people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel this like overwhelming sense of need to explain myself when I am crying in front of someone else. So usually if I'm crying and it's, you know, an emotional cry, I would like to be around someone that kind of understands maybe why I'm crying in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the shushing. I don't like even like really responding to the crying. I think that like I'm very much like, just let me cry and let me just process by crying and then just talk to me. And yeah, the research shows that people like usually want to cry alone, or having one other person there is good. So this is another anecdote for any helpful tips. If you're seeing someone cry and they're talking to someone else, maybe just leave them alone. Don't overwhelm them.
Yeah, the situation's handled.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of reassuring to know. And I feel like there have been situations as well where a friend is upset and a friend is crying and perhaps we're in a group, but then that person will separate with like one other person to go and deal with that situation. And sometimes I'm that person who separates and sometimes I'm not. And I have felt as the person who's not going and aiding that situation, like, oh, should I be there?
Yeah.
So that's a bit reassuring to know that like maybe just one person is fine. Yeah. And obviously it's going to vary case by case.
Right.
But studies show.
Studies do show. Also, there's this great, not great, but very interesting thing that happens when like you're crying maybe in a group and then you separate. And then more and more people are coming, probably with their best interest to come and support you. But then you have to keep re-explaining why you're crying. And it's so emotionally draining. And, like, obviously, you know, good friends are good friends. But I've been in that position before where it's like a bunch of people are just watching me cry. And then one by one, I'm like, yes. So da 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 da. Anyways, back to why I was crying beforehand.
Sometimes you're just really preoccupied with the cry and you just want to be able to focus on that, and to explain yourself is the most taxing thing that you could do in that moment.
Yeah. And crying is good for you. Crying is a really great release of tension. This was another like overwhelming thing in the research. Like, it is great as like a cathartic discharge of effect. That is a direct quote, which I love. I love that quote. It also really helps with your autonomic activation. That's like the homeostasis I was talking about beforehand. It releases a lot of tension. It brings like physical health in the long term. It increases your sympathetic nervous system, which is like your response to like stressful situations. So like when you are able to like react and cry, it helps you in like situations across the board. So think of like fight or flight. When you like immediately react to something, crying is also a part of that. And so like repressing that can really damage you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's why we're so healthy and happy.
Yeah, every year.
Just get it out.
Every doctor's appointment, he's like, you've been crying, haven't you? I'm like, yes, I have.
They're like, wow, you look great.
You look great.
Before we close up today's episode, we're going to take a little break to hear some ads, and then we'll be back to talk about the gender stigmas around crying and what happens when you don't cry. We'll be right back.
If you attended a federal Indian day school, now is your time to make your claim. If you experience harm at your school, you may be eligible to receive a check for compensation. Remember, you need to make your claim before July 13th, 2022. See if your school is on the list and get free legal help. Start at IndianDayschools.com or call 1-844-539-3815. Claim what's yours.
Celebrating human ingenuity, resilience, and grit. Tell a Story Hive's Game Changers Documentary Edition is here. Calling all local emerging filmmakers in BC and Alberta. StoryHive is offering 30 grants of $20,000 each to capture stories of local game changers that are making their community a better place. Send in your application to storyhive.com/apply by November 10th. If you have a story to share, we want to hear from you.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM.
I love that we both tend to be pretty in touch and in tune with our emotions. And as we've made abundantly clear in this episode, we're both quite comfortable crying. But I can't help but think that, you know, a lot of that comfortability comes from the way that we were socialized due to growing up as young girls and young women.
Absolutely. I think that crying is like is considered to be such a feminine trait. And that in itself, like when something is considered feminine, is just considered worse in a patriarchal society, unfortunately.
Right. Like, I think that crying is associated with weakness and, you know, being irrational and being overly sensitive in this very gendered way, which is so unfair because crying is so normal and natural and important and has nothing to do with gender. And I feel like in my own gender identity, like that's something I really connect with being a woman, is the fact that I feel able to be emotional and express those emotions.
Yeah, I mean, we have developed as humans for thousands of years. The things that we do are workings of like just trial and error back and forth. So when we cry, it's just a natural response. And like having that repressed and not letting yourself feel that way and then villainizing it is just, it's really awful. I mean, I've struggled with like the concept of crying in the past, but I've come to this point in my 20s where I just feel like I love that I cry. I love that I cry and I love talking about it. And I think that it's great to talk about it and it's great to start normalizing it.
Yeah, it's totally something that I embrace about myself. And it's really interesting. You know, you are a Pisces and I'm a Cancer.
Yes, which, water signs.
If you know anything about astrology, those are two signs that really have a big reputation for being big old crybabies.
Cry.
And I was telling a friend of mine about being a Cancer, and he didn't really know much about astrology and was asking me what the traits are and what I identified with. And I said something that I did identify with was being very sensitive and very in tune with my emotions and crying a lot. And, you know, he looked at me and he was like, oh, but you seem like such like a level-headed, you know, logical person.
Interesting.
And I was like,
those things cannot coexist.
Right. Like, why can't I be both? Like,
exactly.
I think that for me, being emotional and sensitive and crying does not mean that I'm overdramatic or,
exactly,
you know, out of touch with reality. Like, these things can exist together, and that's okay.
It's such a, like, female hysteria thing. Like, I feel the same way of, like, I've had so many conversations with people where I talk about crying, and they're like, well, you're such a happy person. I'm like, yeah, I'm happy because I also cry. Like, I experience emotions, and, like, I wouldn't blame anyone to, like, have that assumption, but I do think that there's this weird connection people make to like someone who cries a lot and how they're just like unconsolable, uncontrollable. They are hysterical. They are a drama queen. Like they cannot hold it together. And like, yes, I think that crying in a way is a bit of like giving up a bit of your own control over your emotions. You're letting something take over you. I just really hate that people don't see that as a good thing. And it is because it's a feminine trait. It is because it's linked to women, like womanhood and being like emotional, because emotions apparently are bad now. We can't have them.
Apparently. Yeah. And I think, you know, we were talking about the gendered stigma as prep for this episode and talking about, you know, I think if we had asked quite a few of our male friends if when the last time they cried was, you know, I think some of them would be able to come up with an answer. And I think,
right,
a lot of them would give an answer along the lines of, I don't remember.
I know.
Or it's been years.
And like, that is shocking. That is simply not correct. I cannot, because I do think that there's two things at play here. One, maybe some men just simply don't cry, and that is super unhealthy. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. Also, though, I think that there is this pressure maybe to kind of say that even if, like, a man has cried recently, because that in itself is deemed to be better than crying recently. But, yeah, we were talking about a friend of ours and how, like, I had asked him when the last time he cried was, and he genuinely couldn't remember. And I don't think he would have lied about this. And that was shocking to me.
Well, and it's just like, you know, I happen to know that he's experienced sadness, like,
yes,
events which are sad in his life in the past however long, and, you know, was surprised and was happy and all of these emotions that could evoke tears at any moment, just as we all have. And so it's pretty upsetting to hear then, like, you know, something else is going on.
Right.
And, like, why aren't you crying? Like, we should really be questioning that, I think, rather than, like, thinking it's normal.
Yes. Well, why aren't we letting ourselves feel that way? And I think when planning for this episode, I was thinking about this scene in Sex Education. And if you haven't seen it, you definitely should. Where one of the men is going to therapy and he's talking about crying. He can't remember the last time he cried. And then the therapist kind of goes on this little rant about how when we don't let ourselves feel sadness, we also bar ourselves from not being able to feel happiness or surprise or just like enjoyment. And like, I think there is so much truth and like benefits to that concept, because when you think about wanting to like let yourself feel things, and like we've talked about this a lot, that like being sad is hard. It's really, really hard being sad, being lonely, feeling like depressive emotions is a very difficult thing to get through, and it can really cloud a lot of your, you know, human experience. But if we don't experience that, we will not be able to experience what true happiness is. And in the times in my life where I suppressed my crying, which was a lot in high school, I also can't remember times of like pure joy. And I feel that now. Like when I'm in university and I'm with friends, there are times where I just like sit back and I just think about how happy I am. And there are also times that I've, you know, been in bed and maybe not gotten up for a few hours and cried probably 3 or 4 times and just feeling a bit sorry for myself. And those things should and will can only coexist together.
Yeah, we need those peaks and valleys to, you know, to just go through the human existence.
Exactly.
And get the most out of it. You know, I don't think it does. Well, I know from what we've been talking about in the research that you've done that it doesn't do us any good to stay at this neutral middle ground.
Yeah. Well, when I was looking into what happens when we don't cry, there was this very interesting dichotomy of saying that if you suppress your crying, there's sometimes social benefits to that. And I agree. I feel like there are times that I don't need to be crying, even maybe if I do feel like I want to. And I think that there's, you know, importance in like regulating that and making sure that the people around you, maybe there's not someone there that can support you in that moment. Maybe it'll ruin the vibe as eloquently as I can say that. So there's, and also like there are feelings of shame around crying. Unfortunately, this is in North America and usually like mostly in the West. There is a lot of shame around crying. There's a lot of like public humiliation around it. So I get it. Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, as comfortable as I am crying, I definitely look back on some moments and wish that I would have or could have suppressed that particular cry and, you know, just waited for a better moment to do so.
I'm just taking a second.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Right.
I can't hold it back.
Especially when you're so used to just letting it rip.
I've seen you do a very good job of that before, though.
Have you?
Do you remember this? There was one time, for the viewers listening at home, this is just a fun anecdote. There was one time that I was in Violet's room. Violet is, in fact, an empath. And I was crying about something. And I don't know, maybe I wasn't crying, but I was very upset about something and kind of like going through it with Violet. And I could just see it on her face that she wanted to cry so badly, but she was keeping it together.
The tears were welling up. And I was like, you better not. You can't cry right now. Because I think specifically because you weren't crying. And I was just reacting to what you were saying. And I was like, I feel like it would be really inappropriate for me to cry right now. I'm not trying to make this moment about me. I just love you, man.
I just really love you. I do love that. I've seen you do it. It's happened a few times.
Really?
Yes. I think that's kind of the perfect like halfway point to know someone wants to cry for you, but it is also making the decision not to do it. Because I've been in positions before too when I've told someone something and they start crying and all of a sudden I'm consoling them.
Yeah.
Even if it's not like a confrontation or an argument. Like there was a time where I was at another cafe and I was talking to a friend and I was like explaining this thing that had happened to me and she just got really overwhelmed and like started crying and I started trying to console her and she was like, no, this is about you. And like, you know, those moments are going to happen. I'm never being judgmental of anyone doing that. But it is an interesting, like, again, that's the response. That's like your immediate response is like, I need to console you now. I need to make sure that you're doing okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yes, suppression can help sometimes. It can help you socially. But almost in all internal bodily functions, it is a negative effect. A lot of studies have shown that when you're not able to release tension or those stress hormones over a long period of time, that can just completely damage your internal systems. So having high rates of cortisol and adrenaline can cause sleep deprivation. It can cause you not to eat. Like thinking about like your most anxious states, like a lot of people respond to that, of just not being able to like have
no appetite,
just your body's not able to focus on anything else because it's just very overwhelmed with those hormones. It's not good. Not being able to release those that tension and stress can really damage you. Repressing your crying can also like really hurt your autonomic activation. So again, not being able to go back into homeostasis. Long term, not crying can cause physical health problems. And more on the psych side, again, there was like some anecdotal and like therapy research that just showed that when humans cannot cry or like are repressing that crying, they're also repressing a lot more emotions. They're just not able to feel certain things.
Yeah, so I would challenge all of our listeners to think about the last time that they cried. And if it was a while ago, you know, pop on a sad movie.
Yeah, listen to Julia Jacklin's cry.
Yeah.
Put
because
on some Mitski.
You gotta get it out, you know? And if that's what you need to do to trigger it, then that's okay. I've cried at the silliest things on, like, Facebook, like, compilations yes. of, like, marriage proposals.
Oh, my God.
Which, like, I don't even care about. Like, they're literally singing to, like, Bruno Mars's Marry Me, and I'm, like, weeping. Or, like, military people coming home.
I was just about to say the military. I do not support the
military. I don't even like the military.
I actually hate the military.
But they come home and their dog sees them. Oh, and gosh. I'm like, oh, my God, waterworks.
Have you seen the videos of the animal, like the wildlife recognizing the people that brought... Oh, my God, we're going to watch this when we
go. Oh, I'm excited.
There's a few of them. But there's these videos where, like, animals that are maybe hurt or, like, they were at zoos and they were saved later. They... are just like raised by humans for like a bit of their life. So there was like these two lions.
I've seen this one? Yeah.
I have watched that video so many times and I cry every single time. Same thing, orangutans. They're very close to us in species. I've seen videos of them like in the wild and like they're like the top, I guess top dog is a bad term to use in this.
because they're not literally dogs. Not dogs.
But like the highest orangutan in the pack. And they're very dangerous.
Dang. That's a cool orangutan.
And then he'll, like, recognize the person that raised him and, like, will just go and, like, give them a hug. And, like, orangutans also hug very similarly to humans, so you can just see them. Like, it's so beautiful, and I cry every single time.
Hey, man, whatever it takes.
Sometimes it's just commercials.
Yeah.
I've cried at some Super Bowl commercials. Also, though, I was thinking about this, too, when I was going through the script earlier today, and I was thinking about how sometimes when you have a lot of that tension built up, or maybe there's just been a lot going on, and I'm a big activist in, like, suppressing my emotions just for, like, needing to get something done or just distracting myself, and then it'll just be the smallest thing that happens, like, you knock something over or, like, something breaks or you're not able to, like, untangle something. Like, something that's just
the straw that breaks the camel's back.
And the waterworks just come out. Like, I think that there was definitely one time that I was putting my boots on, and I don't usually untie my shoes. Or untie my laces is what I meant to say. Like, I took my shoe off when I had taken off before, and I was trying to untie them later on when I was very apparently holding a lot of stress, and I couldn't get them done because they were so tight, and I remember just like yanking it and pulling it and then just like crying because I was just so frustrated.
And like, it like has nothing to do with the shoe, you know?
It's not
like,
the shoe's fault.
Yeah, shoe didn't do anything.
She did not do anything.
But you just get to that point sometime and you just need to get a good cry out.
Just need to get it out. Just please to anyone that's listening, just cry.
Think about the last time you cried. Think about the last time you felt pure joy and ecstatic happiness. And if that's been a while, then you probably need to cry.
It's due for some crying.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for having that teary-eyed conversation with me, Holly.
You're welcome.
That's been your free therapy hour for this week. Thanks for tuning in.
Your homework, as we said before, is to cry your little heart out, you know? Just take some time, put on a sad movie, Just get it out. Get your heart broken if that's what it takes, but something, please. Tune in 2 weeks when we'll be discussing attachment styles.
Yep, we are going to be broadcasting every other Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Again, we're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminen-speaking Coast Salish Musqueam people at CITR 101.9 FM. Again, this has been Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. See you in 2 weeks.